All right, good evening, Covenant Grace. I will most likely be a sobbing mess by the end, like I was this morning. So please come back next week, because this church radically loves Jesus and is all about Jesus. But I'm just so incredibly grateful for this moment to be able to say goodbye to all of you. We have been at Covenant Grace for the last 9 years, 9 years that have radically impacted my life and the life of my family, and we will always be incredibly grateful, Lord, and incredibly grateful to all of you for that. So the challenge is, how on earth do I say goodbye? Well, three steps that I will attempt. Firstly, a word of encouragement from the Bible, as always, and then I will invite my beautiful wife to come up, and we will tell you more about where we are going, and then lastly, attempt to say some personal thank yous. So firstly, a word of encouragement to all of you, and as I was thinking and praying, what on earth do I say to my faith family for the last time? It dawned on me, it actually came pretty quickly. I would ask you and pray for you that you would continue to be a gospel-centered community on mission with your Lord and Savior. And so to clarify exactly what that means, I thought it would be fitting to look at Paul's final farewell to the Ephesian elders as he was making his way to Jerusalem. And in this rather moving farewell, I just want to pick out three things. We're not going to read the whole story. I encourage you to go home and do that. It's an amazing address to them. But I just want to pick out three things that kind of clarify what it means to be on mission with Jesus. And they'll go like this. Point number one will be missional living, followed by missional vigilance. And then we'll finish off with missional community. And so firstly, missional living. What I mean by that is that being on mission is what you become. It becomes your lifestyle. You adopt a missional lifestyle. You're not dependent on a ministry structure, on Sunday services, or your midweek community group. It just simply becomes who you are and how you live. And this is not anything new, whether you're here as a Christian or not a Christian. We're all on mission. It's just that the mission differs at times. Our careers can become our mission, and that begins to dictate our lives and our lifestyles to us. Or our comfort can become our mission and begins to dictate our lifestyles to us. We either strive towards maintaining or strive towards new levels of comfort, or we strive to fight for our current level of comfort, and we fight off or we ignore anything that seeks to disrupt that mission of being comfortable. Our mission can also be good and honorable things, like being a good husband, being a good wife, being a good parent. And so being on mission, your mission is whatever has grabbed hold of your life, whatever has grabbed hold of your heart. That's the bottom line. It begins to affect who you are. It begins to affect your character. It begins to affect your ability to persevere through thick and thin in order to maintain this mission or to achieve it. And so the Apostle Paul, which we will see, was clearly gripped by the grace of Jesus. But before that, he had a very, very different mission. He was gripped by zealous religion and legalism that drove him to arrest and imprison Christians. He writes to the Galatians, and in chapter 1, he tells them, he just confesses, hey, listen, I tried to destroy the church of God violently. And then Jesus, this Lord of the church, meets him on a road, on the road to Damascus one day. And instead of taking him out, instead of killing him, he actually commissions him. And he gives him a new heart, and with this new heart comes a new mission, and with a new mission comes a new lifestyle, a new way of living. And Paul describes himself as the chief of sinners, yet he says Jesus died for him. And you can't live a normal life after receiving something like that. after registering something like that. You cannot live a normal life. And look at how he describes this missional life now to these elders in verse 18. So the context is, like I said, he's on his way down to Jerusalem. He lands up in Miletus and he asks the Ephesian elders to join him there because he knows he will never see them again. And so he begins his address like this. He says, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia." Notice those words. He says, "How I lived among you the whole time." Not just on a Sunday at Sunday services, not just at our midweek groups on a Wednesday night. You guys saw and you guys noticed how I lived my life from making tents to preaching and teaching the gospel every single day. You noticed my missional life. And then he tells us the characteristics of this lifestyle. Verse 19, he says, "Serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." And so he says, missional living is a servant life. It requires humility, and humility comes from realizing, like he said, that he is the chief of sinners, but Jesus saves you anyway. When you realize who you are and the things that you have done or are doing in comparison to who Jesus is and what he did for you on the cross, you can't but bow your head and live your life the glory of Jesus, spending the rest of your life serving him. But missional life is not easy. He says it's full of tears and full of trials. Paul experiences more so than most, numerous times tortured for his faith, numerous times imprisoned for his faith. But then, like he says, he never shrunk back from teaching and testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of this gospel. His missional living extended beyond his national and ethnic comfort zone because he knew the gospel was too good to keep to himself and his comfort zone. It had to go to all peoples so that they might repent and believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And this is possible, CG. It's possible when we truly grasp our sin in comparison to the amazing grace that we have received from Jesus. Then we'll be able to say this with Paul. Verse 24, he says, "But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Do you see his focus? Do you see the focus of missional living? He says, "If only," that's it, "if only one thing, I may finish my course and ministry I receive from the Lord Jesus." That's the mission. It must encapsulate everything about us and everything that we do. But we can only do that if we are not the center of our own lives. We don't count our lives as precious, but the gospel as precious. So here's what I get from Paul. Missional living is about two things: how you live and what you say. How you live and what you say. How you live, humble servanthood. Give yourself up to the cause of Christ in this world and to the places and the spaces where he has put you. And then secondly, what you say. Paul says here, he lives to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So listen, if you're here and you're an accountant or you're studying to be an accountant, that's okay, Jesus loves you. But you are not primarily an accountant in your organization to simply balance the books. You are there firstly and foremost as a missionary to live in such a way that those around you might know what you live for and who you live for by how you live and what you say. By how you live and what you say. And so may we all serve the Lord with humility, not shrinking back from testifying about who Jesus is. But now I know this is not easy, Covenant Grace. And so I don't want to come across naive. I've had many, many coffees with many of you over the years. And so I know there's a lot of pressure in the business world, a lot of pressure on the Varsity campus, many deadlines to meet, many bottom lines and annoying clients and micromanaging bosses. And then on top of that is the threat of the enemy wanting to derail your faith. Derail your faith with temptations and distractions and false doctrines. And so if we're going to be on mission with Jesus, we need to have, number two, missional vigilance. And so here's what we need to be vigilant of. Verse 28, Paul continues and he says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them." And so he tells these Ephesian elders to be watchful or vigilant of these wolves, and their goal, he says, is to draw away the disciples after them. And they will do this by speaking twisted things. And so these are deceptive wolves. They're not big and scary with terrifying fangs. Otherwise, we'd all run in the opposite direction into Jesus' arms. No. These wolves are dressed in sheep's clothing. They want to draw you away. They want to entice you to follow them. They're going to tell you things to kind of tickle your ears, to entice the desires within you. They're going to make promises to fulfill your needs. They're going to say things like, "Hey, listen, that's weird. Jesus is telling you to forget about your life. That'll carry your cross deal. Don't count your life as precious or valuable." Well, let me tell you, you are valuable. You're valuable to me. And I want you to feel important. I want you to be important in this life. I can make you be important in this life. I can make you feel loved. I love you. I can be your savior. This whole church thing, this whole gospel thing, is just simply getting in the way of you being all who you can be in this world. And once it has you, it devours your faith, leaving you broken. Leaving you brokenhearted, depressed, bankrupt, divorced. Because wolves can't fulfill their promises, they can only fill their stomachs. And they never intend on fulfilling their promises. And so Paul tells us where these wolves come from. He says they come from outside the church. In Paul's case, referring to these false Judaistic teachers who are coming with their Jesus plus theology. And then he says, watch out, they also come from within the church. He says, even from among your own selves, even the leadership itself. That's why he implores them. He says, pay careful attention to your souls and to the flock. In other words, how's your theology? Who's influencing your theology? What is drawing you away from your time with Jesus? What is disrupting your time in the Word and your time of prayer? How is your heart? What's going on in your heart? What is in there? Is it filled with anger, bitterness, resentment, lust? Beware of twisted things sneaking into your hearts and your minds. I'm sure you'll all agree with me. We are incredibly blessed here at Covenant Grace. We have great biblical teaching. And so my final encouragement to Greg, Mark, and Mike is please continue as the elders of this church to look after each other. And I want to thank them for keeping an eye on me and for praying for me. I'm going to ask them to continue to pray for me and the elders of Sunrise Community Church as we pray for you guys. Covenant Grace, the Bible is going to come under more and more threat and attack in this postmodern culture that we're living in. In fact, the guys in Sunrise got hold of me this morning telling me that it's to pray for them. They had a rather challenging week in terms of sexual orientation. The island has just passed a law for gay marriages, and so they were wrestling with where they stand on that whole issue. And so they asked me to pray, and Brett, the current pastor, addressed it this morning and hold a very high biblical view. And so we will be accused of many things. Arrogant. Oh, how can you make that stance? That's so unloving. How can you do that? How can you say that? Here's the thing. God's word leads to life and leads to joy. Hold on to it. Continue to have it as your ultimate authority. Here's why this is so important. He says, your leaders have been set apart by the Holy Spirit, and we have all been bought at a great price. He says, we were obtained with his own blood. We are sitting here tonight, Covenant Grace, because it cost Jesus his life to have that. So be vigilant, be on your guard. This leads to our last way of being on mission with Jesus, and that is to be in and of a missional community. So number one, we are to live missionally, and number two, to be on our guard all the time. And it's easier to do those two things while being in a community. So the last point, missional community. Covenant Grace, like we always say, is a gospel-centered community on mission with Jesus. And to be a gospel-centered community means to be fully dependent on God, but at the same time, interdependent on each other. Like we saw, Jesus died for a church. He died for a body. He died for a community. And as a community, we help each other depend on Jesus. We help each other keep our eyes firmly focused on him. There are no lone rangers. As individuals, we are weak. We are prone to wolves. We are physically weak and we are spiritually weak. And so a missional community helps us in these weaknesses. Have a look at Paul's example, verse 34. He says, you yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we, plural, must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so the first thing we see here is Paul worked hard to meet his needs, to meet his necessities. And notice he doesn't say his wants or his desires, but what he needed to get by every day so that he could continue to be on mission. And not just himself, but also for his team that traveled with him, his band of missionaries, his own little community that traveled along with him. And we know from reading the book of Acts that he did this by making tents. And so Paul's tent making was provision for himself and for his team so that they could be on mission. And that's the challenge. That yes, we are to work hard to provide for our needs and for our loved ones and for our community, but not to just stop there. It's not a full stop, it's a comma. So that we can be on mission with Jesus. Notice verse 35 says, all things. He worked hard in all things. And so for the 2 to 3 years that he spent in Ephesus, he made tents, but he also preached and taught the gospel every single day in the hall of Tyrannus. Paul worked tirelessly. Here's why. Verse 35 says, in all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And so he worked hard to provide for their physical needs. He worked hard to provide for their spiritual needs. And then he says, hey, just don't look at my example. Remember Jesus himself. Remember he said this. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And so, covenant grace, we can take Jesus at his word. You will be more blessed when you give than when you receive. And many of you know this already. You have faithfully partnered with this missional community over all of these years. And so just personally from my side, I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you because there hasn't been a single month since I have been employed in this church that I have worried about my salary. There hasn't been a month where I've worried going, oof, I wonder if I'm going to get paid this month. I wonder if I'll get a full salary. I wonder if I'll even get a half salary. I've never had to worry. I've always been able to put bread on my family's table and just be single-focused in serving this missional community. And not just me and the rest of the staff, but each month we have faithfully given to NGOs month after month, something that has been so close to my heart. And I know there are countless other ways many of you have given in secret. And I know many of you haven't been able to always give financially, but you've given of your time, you've given of your gifts, you've given of your expertise. And because of that, CG, we are a blessed community. And so I know we are living in economically challenging times, and I don't want to be insensitive to that. But if we are to continue being a missional community, we need to work hard in all things so as to provide for physical poverty in our city, in our land, and spiritual poverty. And so my final exhortation before my wife joins me is this. It is impossible to live the missional life. It is impossible to be a gospel-centered community on mission with Jesus without two key ingredients. And it's these two key ingredients that help Paul persevere in everything that he went through. Tortures, imprisonments, heartbreak, disappointments, and finally to his death. The first one he says like this, verse 22, "And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me." And so we say, well, why go then, Paul? Well, why don't you send someone else? Why don't you send someone else to take all the money that you and your guys have collected for the Jerusalem church? Just send someone else to go and deliver it. You go in the opposite direction, or better yet, stay with the Ephesian elders. You clearly have a very good relationship with them, a deep relationship with them. And clearly, it's been a very fruitful ministry. Why don't you just go back to Ephesus with them? And believe me, I've asked myself the same question. Why am I dragging my family halfway across the world? Why don't I stay here with my faith family and a wonderful leadership team and friends? Because here's the answer. He is, and I am, constrained by the Holy Spirit. Literally handcuffed, bound by the Spirit. Paul lived by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so that's ingredient number one. And it worked hand in hand with the second. In fact, they're inseparable. He says this in verse 32. "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." See that? God's word, this word of grace will build you up, covenant grace. It will build you up. It will sanctify you more and more into the image and likeness of your Lord and Savior. It will sanctify. It will build you up into a missionary. It will build you up into a missional community. So much so that it will protect you from wolves, so that you will receive your glorious inheritance one day in the new heavens and the new earth. Word and Spirit working together. Word and Spirit leading you, guarding you, protecting you until we meet each other again in glory. So finally, would you be constrained by the Spirit, grounded in His Word, so as to be a gospel-centered community on mission with your Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. I'd like to invite my beautiful wife on stage. Many of you have probably thought I've had an imaginary wife over all of these years, but here she is. And we are going to show you firstly and foremost where we are actually going. Does this work? There we go. So we're going to... We are leaving there, probably going to fly funny all the way to somewhere there. Excuse the shaking. But hopefully the pilot knows a little bit better where it is. But it's there in the Caribbean. The Cayman Islands is in the Caribbean Sea. A beautiful, beautiful piece of the world. It's literally a little sand patch in the middle of nowhere. Most world maps, you don't even see it. But a wonderful, wonderful place to be. And the reason why we are going is because of this verse. You might have read it a couple of times. It's kind of our family verse. We had our girls up here this morning, and they quoted the one part to go and make disciples of all nations. And that is very apt for this church. It's an expat church made up of people from all around the world. And it's a very transient island. That means a lot of people come, and they come there for a while, and they go off again. And so the same thing happens with the church. And so we have the privilege of pouring the gospel into these people's lives and then sending them off either to their next part of their journey or back home where they will then, we trust, make disciples who will go on to make disciples. But there are some challenges on the island. There is some extreme wealth, and there is also poverty. But what the folk were telling us when we were there is that most people on the island are running from something. They are broken people. Even the extreme wealthy are broken, running from heartbreak, running from financial crisis, or whatever it might be. And so the challenge for us there is to preach the gospel so that they are not only saved, but they are healed of whatever they are running from. The other challenge is that they are known as an expat church, and they want to be known as a local church made up of both expats and local Caymanians. And so we also have that challenge ahead of us of reaching out to the locals and making them feel welcome. The name of the church is this. Sunrise Community Church, and this is their mission statement, which kind of resonates with us, introducing people to Jesus and helping them grow by His grace, which is just another way of saying we're a gospel-centered community on mission with Jesus. So that's wonderful. We want to show you a couple of pictures just to give you an idea. That is the venue where we have our services. It's the theater in Georgetown. This picture was taken of the worship team practicing just before the service where I preached, and the aircon didn't work that day, so it was incredibly, incredibly rough. It is just very, very hot there, but a wonderful facility that they've been blessed with, and they rent it, but they've never been disrupted. Sunday after Sunday, it is available for the church. Following slide. On a baptismal Sunday, half the service is in the theater. So you will sing one or two songs, then there'll be the sermon. And then everyone jumps in their cars and they go off to a beach called Governor's Beach. And there we sing a couple of more songs and baptism is explained right there where all the tourists are lying and suntanning, and the gospel is explained again for everyone to hear. And those who will be baptized, they get to share their testimony. And then after that, we go down to the water. That's not a swimming pool. That's where they are baptized. And again, in front of all of these tourists, and just such a magnificent testimony of the grace of God. And so that's just to give you a little visual picture of where we're going and what we'll be all about. So over to my wife, who has some. Yes, you do get a mark. Oh, thanks.
Yo, so much emotion today. It's been unreal. I feel like I've been hit by a truck. Anyway, 9 years ago, I never thought I could ever be happy living in PE. And 9 years ago, I never thought I'd find real friends here. 9 years ago, I never thought I could be a pastor's wife. We came here 9 years ago with a mission to love you and to walk with you. But looking back now, we see how you have done that for us. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's just been so valuable. Running an early learning center at a children's hospice certainly had its challenges, but you were there making beds, serving food. Two of you even did full Ironman to raise funds. And when we lost loved ones, you were there. And when we had our Paige and Emma, you were there to share in the joy. And yeah, I think that's something we'll just always remember about Covenant Grace. And yeah, we just want to thank you for that. Mm. For 6 of my 9 years here, I have either been in the mom's room or the glow room and not here on a Sunday evening. Mm. But that's where I've built such special friends, not only for me, but also for my girls. And yeah, I just wanted to say thank you to those GLOW families. Also, my ladies' discipleship group, walking with you spiritually has definitely been one of the most valuable things. And each one of you is a gift that I believe God is just going to continue to use. I pray that we continue to live broken and given, and always at the foot of the cross.
Mm. Thanks, Paula. If you just wouldn't mind bearing with me a little bit longer, I also have some personal thank yous. I'll try to do it a bit better this morning. It was all just snort and trana. But again, I probably won't look up in case they all start coming out again. So firstly, to Greg, words fail to describe how grateful I am to have served with you all these years. I have grown more in my theology and preaching and leadership than all the years at Bible College and in the other churches where I have served. It's because of your friendship, bro, and leadership that I have arrived here today and am ready to go, ready to take the gospel, ready to take gospel-centered preaching, which I've learned from you, to the Cayman Islands and beyond. Yeah, here they come. I pray the Lord increases your capacity now and sustains you, but most importantly that if he will, then I trust he will, to bring you someone else that you can disciple, to take over from you one day, or to be sent out by you one day. Wendy, your consistent love and support for Greg has gone unnoticed, has not gone unnoticed, sorry. I got a bit blurry there. Sorry. Has not, definitely not gone unnoticed. I know, and we all know, Greg would not be here today without your loving support. And so you are a blessing to him, you're a blessing to your family, you're a blessing to us, and you're a blessing to this faith family, and we want you to know that. Mark and Sue, you are a very special couple, and I will miss you guys a lot. Mark, I will miss your humor. You are both exceptionally gifted and talented, so do not be apologetic about your excellence. It is out of your love for Jesus and his church. So, Covenant Grace, like I said to you, the morning crowd, please look after them. I don't want them burning out, so please ensure that they get good holidays. To Jade, there you are, you weren't here this morning, or you were in the glow room. Another exceptionally gifted and talented person. There isn't too much that you can't do. Everything from teaching and preaching the scriptures to leading, to singing, to playing various instruments. I have enjoyed our banter a lot in our staff meetings. And so again, Covenant Grace, please would you look after her and her growing family. To the monster, where is he? I'll try to look at you this time, bro. I can't thank you enough for your friendship over the years. You have been such a great encouragement to me and support to me, and not just to me, but to my family. And same goes for Janine. And like I said to you, I know you are in a different season now, but please do not forget to fan into flame the many gifts God has put within you. You are a valuable and vital part of the body of Christ. To my man in the mirror guys, Brent, Maury, and Louis, and Kevin, who's not part of this church, I can't thank you guys enough for your friendship and for your discipleship. I need you to know that it wasn't one way. I benefited so much from our times together. Thank you for all your inputs and your wisdom into my life. One final request, please finish the book. We are right there. To Mike, in his absence, Carl, who's, I like to think, looking down on us, I shared in one of the greatest life-changing moments with you all when we went to Egypt. And so that time and our friendship will forever be a defining moment in my life. And I know Mike and Shireen are not here, but I said to Shireen this morning that none of it would have happened without her and her incredible organizational skills. So I just wanted to mention that to you. And then to all my community group leaders and my Covenant Grace family, we will never forget you. Just a word to the community group leaders, thank you for serving so faithfully, leading your groups. It has been an honor to serve with you. Thank you for loving us, loving my family, and always being such an incredible source of encouragement to us. I can't begin to tell you how much we will miss each and every single one of you. There are many, many friends that I have not mentioned by name. It's just simply impossible to do that. But I hope you know who you are and know that we love you. I love you. And thank you for loving us. Finally, to my beautiful wife, Janine, who has given up everything to follow me literally halfway around the world. You gave up so much in Joburg to move down to PE with me. And now you're giving up so much more to follow me to the Caymans. I think especially of your art career. I can't thank you enough. I'll never be able to thank you enough. And I just want to say I love you. And I can't wait for this next mission with you. Thank you all so, so much. Amen.